We solemnly swear we are up to no good.
Welcome to We Solemnly Swear, a Mick Olson podcast. We are a group of sisters who are diehard Harry Potter fans who want to share our crazy passion and knowledge of the wizarding world with our fellow Potterheads. Yay! Today we have...
Nadine, your Hachiwara Hufflepuff.
And Tori, your Ramdow Ravenclaw. Yes. Ready to now. With the adjective.
Getting creative.
Our adjectives are swords. Yeah. What are we talking about today?
Yes.
Sword.
Swords. I wonder which sword. We had a fan write in a question, and so she asked, what do we know about the history of the Sword of Gryffindor, starting with the King Ragnarok, and then to the first... Ragnarok the first, and then until the Battle of Hogwarts. So we thought we would just dive into what we do know about the sword and answer this fan's question, because we haven't talked about the Sword of Gryffindor yet.
We haven't, which is, that's because it wasn't a Horcrux. I mean, the most exciting thing it did was come out of the freaking sword he had. So I guess it was under the pond too. So that was
the
cool.
The most exciting.
Yeah. It also killed Nagini. Okay, they're a really cool thing.
And the basilisk.
Dang it. All right. Here we go. We're going to start. So the sword is made of pure silver and has rubies the size of eggs on the hilt. Eggs, people. that's really big. Also, it has the name Godric Gryffindor below the hilt. Just so he misplaced it.
He's like, this is mine.
He's like, I know what you're doing, Salazar. Get off. It says Godric on it.
Also, side note that everyone probably already knows, but rubies are the stone that represent Gryffindor house. So it's only makes sense that
that's right.
In his sword he would have a ruby. He had a thing with rubies.
He had a thing for rubies. That's how he counted his points in the thing. I mean, it's the only way to do it. All right. So, the sword in Gryffindor was made by goblins thousands of years ago, and it is enchanted. Which makes me kind of question, like, all about the goblin magic. Because they, like, obviously don't speak anything. And I wonder if they have a better harness on different kinds of magic or different modes of it.
Modes. Dark mode.
Dark modes.
Okay, so what we know about the sword from the books is that it only takes in that which makes it stronger. So it never needs cleaning. That's kind of cool. Although I don't really know how often a sword in general needs cleaning, but probably a lot. Like if you take it to battle and stuff, you gotta clean it.
Sharpen it, gotta clean it. A little bit. If you use it, I would clean it up.
Yeah, makes sense.
Stab
of course
your enemy.
We know, this is fine. we know that from the books, it takes in the basilisk venom from the Chamber of Secrets book. And we also know that goblins are known to be very skilled in metalwork. So Ragnarok the first was the goblin that made the sword for Godric Gryffindor. And he put in his very specific order for his sword. Which made me wonder, did he ask for it to be an enchanted sword? Or did he just know that having a goblin make it would therefore make it enchanted? Also, how much do you think, money-wise, this ran Godric Gryffindor? Because it seems like an enchanted sword would be kind of pricey.
I mean, he probably went all out for his sword. Because, I mean, it was his thing. but I bet I wonder if he, like, supplied the rubies and maybe the metal and something like that. But, like, he knew that Ragnarok would definitely, like, imbibe the sword with magical goblin abilities.
I know. That are just, like, he puts in his specific order and he's like, so I want it to be able to be summoned by a true Gryffindor.
Oh, like the Gryffindor love. But see, that, like, some of that kind of stuff could totally be enchanted upon it afterwards.
That's true.
That's why it's like, do we even know the full scope of what the sword is capable of?
That's true.
Right? Also, you always want to find the best blacksmith to make your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the finest blacksmith. I learned that from A Knight's Tale.
Yes.
Yes. My knowledge is vast. All right. So, a little bit about Ragnuk and the goblins. Ragnuk was the best silversmith, and hence that made him the king. King Goblin, head goblin. In goblin culture, the ruler does not work less than the others, but it more skillfully.
Mm-hmm.
What's PM? Prime Minister?
Pottermore.
That's right. The Prime Minister said that, guys.
The Prime Minister says this.
If you didn't know it, that's what he's talking about right now. She, actually. All right. Ragnuk the First loved the sword. He made so much that he pretended that he pretended that Godric Gryffindor stole it from him. Then it says that he sent his little minions after Godric Gryffindor to steal the sword back. Which I'm assuming little minions means other goblins, which makes sense. I mean, goblins aren't really...
All it said is like his little minions. I was like, do goblins have like other minions?
His little baby goblin children.
Or are they just other goblins?
I bet it's other goblins. Unless they use something else as their minions.
I know, I just think that would be terrifying. Like, what except would a you goblin wanna, like, use as a minion?
Whenever I read minions, though, it's probably because Despicable Me, you just think of those little guys, and you're like, okay, yes, you. That's what he had.
Boy.
They'd get the job done. Godric Gryffindor defends himself with his wand when his attackers show up. He basically scares the living daylights out of all of them and says, if you guys ever try and steal the sword again, he will unsheathe the sword against them all, which is probably terrifies them because Ragnuk knew what went into the sword.
Yeah, he's like, yo, mess with that.
He took him seriously and he never tried to steal the sword again, but he was super bitter about it. And I'm pretty sure that bitterness went down through all the generations.
Mm-hmm.
All the way down, even till the Deathly Hallows, when we hear the goblins sit there and say, like, that's goblin made. Like, it's not yours.
Yeah. So J.K. Rowling has some thoughts on this that she published on Pottermore, so I'm just going to read those. She said, there is a further allusion to Excalibur emerging from the lake when Harry must dive into the frozen forest pool to retrieve the sword in the Deathly Hallows. Though the location of the sword was really due to the spiteful impulses of Snape to place it there. For in the other versions of the legend, Excalibur was given to Arthur by the Lady of the Lake and was returned to the lake when he died. Within the magical world, physical possession is not necessarily a guarantee of ownership. This concept applies to the three Deathly Hallows, and also Gryffindor's sword. I'm interested in what happens when cultural beliefs collide. In the Harry Potter books, the most militant of goblin race consider all goblin-made objects to be theirs by right. Although a specific object might be made over to a wizard for his lifespan upon the payment of gold, which is in... Wizards, like Muggles, believe that once payment has been made, the object belongs to them and their descendants, or legatees in perpetuity. This is a clash of values without a solution, because each side has a different concept of what is right, and therefore presents Harry with a difficult moral dilemma when Griphook demands the sword as payment for his services in the Deathly Hallows. So I thought that was interesting.
Yes, that's when they talk about it in the Deathly Hallows, because I don't remember who was it. Was it Ted Tonks that was like, and bought for by wizards, or like something like that? Mm-hmm. Like they had to like defend each other, because they see it as once the person that bought it dies, it goes back to them. Like,
it's goblin, like, mate.
I'm a goblin. I made your soul. Once you die, it's mine again. You don't get to give it to your son or anything like that. So it's kind of like a twisted way of looking at it.
Yeah, I agree. So
it's now like on loan.
Oh, yeah. So now that we've gone through a little bit of the history of the sword itself, we'll move on to the fans' actual question of where has it been all this time?
Where are you? where's my super suit? All right. So here is what we do know. During Harry's time at Hogwarts, the Sword of Gryffindor was kept in the headmaster's office. Do we think that it's kept there during all headmasters' careers? Or was it there just because Dumbledore was a Gryffindor? Which is a really good question.
Yeah.
Because once something that of that caliber was found and is at Hogwarts, where literally the Gryffindor, Godric Gryffindor was, like, yeah, I could see it being there. But I also could see Dumbledore, like, he probably found the thing, got it, summoned it, and was like, awesome. Like, awesome. This will come in handy one day. Just put it here in my pocket. Yeah, that's a hard question to ask.
I know. We don't know much of the history of the sword before Hogwarts. Yeah. But I would imagine that something as valuable as that sword, it wouldn't go... I mean, the diadem went missing. Obviously, we do know of magical artifacts of major importance going missing. But the sword, I would imagine I could make a big case for it staying in the headmaster's house, like, the entire time.
But see, that's the other question, is when Tom was there, do you think the sword was there too? I mean, Dumbledore was there as a teacher, but he never mentions that he found the sword. He always, like, he talks about his, like, quest to find everything, and he found almost all of them, but he never laid eyes on the sword. So it's like, okay, Dumbledore kept it hidden, or Tom was never bad enough to go to Armando Dippet to go see it in the headmaster's office. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know what you're saying.
Or the sword
I'll
was...
I'll have to look back in those chapters when, like, Tom comes to for his job interview. I wonder if he sees the sword there.
Yeah, but when he came to his job interview, he came to hide the thing.
Yeah, like, I just wonder if they see it there. Okay, and then as we learn in the Chamber of Secrets, a true worthy Gryffindor is capable of pulling the sword from the sorting hat, which also belonged to Godric Gryffindor, obviously.
He whipped it off his head. I love it. In the Deathly Hallows, we learn that when Dumbledore tells Snape the sword must be taken under conditions of need and valor, which is why Snape hides it at the bottom of a pond.
I know. Slash lake. Yeah, I had, like, forgotten that fact of, like, you can't, like, just get it. So, but Snape was like, this frozen lake looks awesome.
This is perfect. He's been camping for weeks now. Let us throw him in the bottom of the lake.
Swim to the bottom of the lake. And
so my other question, does it say conditions of need? Okay, so when Harry was fighting the basilisk, he clearly needed some help.
Yes. Yep.
So I can see why the sword presented itself.
Getting attacked by a giant venomous snake.
Yeah, and a snake. Yeah, that's probably a bad thing.
So then also Fox seemed to know that by bringing Harry the sorting hat, that he would have been able to pull the sword from it. So how do we think Fox knew this? Like, if I were Fox, I would have just grabbed the sword. But she
See, and that's the other thing. Is that how Dumbledore kept it hidden or secret? Or because the two objects belong to Godric Gryffindor, do they share a sort of bond, mend the bond sort of thing? And Fox, like, I don't know. He's a smart bird. He's probably lived forever. So there's got to be something. Or Fox knew that Dumbledore hid it in there.
Yeah. Or it's like Fox knew. Like, does Fox just know everything? And she's like, or he. Fox is a he, right? He had been loyal to Dumbledore. All right. So I don't remember my train of thought. But maybe Fox knew that he needed, like, a decoy situation.
That's right. If the little shadow Voldy saw a sword flying out, he'd be like, holy crap.
Holy crap. Yeah. So he knew he needed the element of surprise.
It is true. And you got to pull something out of a hat. You're a flipping wizard. Like, that was the true test.
Magic trick number one.
Magic trick number one. All right. Dumbledore later says, Harry, I want to thank you. You must have shown me real loyalty down in the chamber. Nothing but that could have called Fox to you. Which makes me, like, wonder about, like, some sort of, like, bond between the magical objects and obviously the very magical bird that lives amongst the objects, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's crazy because I wonder how that magic works, because Fox would have had to, like, sense that Dumbledore is getting, like, that Harry's being loyal to him and that he's in trouble. And then, and we know, like, animals sense a lot of things that humans don't, right? So I can only imagine that a magical creature would have maybe even a more heightened sense
of it
when people need something. So
I can see it.
So we don't really know, like we said, before the Hogwarts timeline, but I think and my best guess is that the sword has been at Hogwarts, maybe not in the headmaster's office, but I think it's been at Hogwarts since Godric's time. But what we do know from the Harry Potter series timeline, like, we have a list of the owners, and you can go through those.
All right. So we know from our books, we know that Harry Potter has it in Chamber of Secrets. Prior to that, it was in the hat. Albus Dumbledore has it from Chamber of Secrets and then on. Severus, Dumbledore gives it to him. He gives him the real sword to give it to Harry, and they create a fake that they put into, where is it? Gringotts? Or where did they put
Bellatrix.
The fake? Bellatrix put it into Gringotts. Yeah. Okay. Ron uses it in the Forest of Dean to kill the Locket. and then an unidentified snatcher who, he very briefly, had it when they were captured and taken to Malfoy Manor. Griphook, he betrays Harry when he runs away with the sword, and he's later killed by Voldemort in Malfoy Manor with all the other goblins because of the Gringotts Beacon. Then Neville, he summoned the sword again, which, again, there has to be some sort of connection, because where was it between there? It just disappeared,
right? Like, it just vanishes. Like, in the movies, we see the sword just, like, vanish.
It just zoo. And then we know that Neville Longbottom, through courage and valor and need, summoned it through the Sorting Hat at the Battle of Hogwarts, and he slashed the head off of Nagini.
Yeah.
Which was literally the coolest scene and the coolest, like, thing to read, honestly, ever. It was so awesome. It was the best. Everyone was screaming. I mean, in my theater we were, but it's okay. We were like, ah! Just to see it. Like, I was screaming when I was reading it, let's be honest, because it was like, Neville! Anyway, he's the coolest. Matthew Lewis, you're awesome. Anyway. Yeah.
So we don't really know much after Hogwarts, but that's what we do know. So if...
Is it ever mentioned in Cursed Child?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Nadine's like, that's not canon. Get out of here.
Get it out of here.
I love it. No, well, no, that's all we know on the beautiful, wonderful Sword of Gryffindor. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Magical properties. We'll probably have to look into, like, the bonds that certain things have amongst one another. Maybe that's why everyone had one thing. Like, Helga had her cup, and Salazar had Salazar had a ring and a locket.
That two-timing jerk.
No, he saw that Godric had two.
He's like, I now need two.
I need two notes. That's why he went to Ragnarok. He's like, okay, he's got two things. They're pretty things, but I need something way cooler. Ragnarok, I got you, man. Gotcha.
I love it.
Okay, gosh. Anyway, remember that you all can follow us on social media at We Solemnly Swearcast. Please leave us your insight and ask us your questions, because these are always so fun to go into, especially when you guys reach out to us, and it makes us, like, it starts a whole other conversation, and I love it, because I mean, we dig deep and do all this kind of stuff, but it's also really fun to know what's going on in your heads. So
yeah. So you guys let us know, like, what do you think? Where was the sword?
Yeah. before. How does it work that it always gets summoned back into the...
No, it just, like, magically disappears.
Also, random question at the very end, sorry. What if someone was so courageous and valorous that while they're being sorted, the sword, like, clunked Blops. Onto their head, like, while they're... Bam! Like, Gryffindor!
Gryffindor! Awesome!
Oh my gosh, they're that would like, be the coolest thing in the entire the world!
Of, like, you're head boy.
You are now the owner of this school. Like, you're never allowed to leave. That's oh god, funny. Anyway...
I love it. Okay, reach out to us, ask us your questions. We love it. Mischief managed.